Blog Talk Radio.
So I let your bitch hang out with me, right? You know word got around I was fucking this nigga, bitch. So the nigga called me. He like, you fucking my bitch? I'm like, I'm fucking her right now. Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like they general.
So that bitch, take your shoes off, look, don't even ask. Got your bitch tiptoeing on Italian marble. They on that bad vest. Too much pork around it. Shorty ass fat. You gotta walk around. Big body got 10 of those. Cause cribs, that's egg hoes. Nine piece, that's dinner rolls. Wild freaks, that's centerfold, huh? 100 on my shine. You don't like it, fine. Got your bitch tiptoeing like Gregory Hines. Passing out with that Nina. 10 days, you ain't seen him. She asked for an IBM. New green nigga, you eat it. These calling niggas all in my dick. French cuts all in my wrist. 100 rounds all in my hip. 200 grand all in my whip.
Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like they general.
Wet work, got the kitchen stinking. We call her undercover, a pig in a blanket. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Shoot you in your head like Abraham Lincoln. Hunting on them bitches like Birdman. Roll a weed and white sheep, Ku Klux Klan. Put it on the scale, watch it do numbers. Playing with them keys like Stevie Wonder. All my hoes pretty, all my niggas crazy. We sell that white, sell that brown, call that rice and gravy. Call me Tune Chili, I don't call me at all. Man, fuck all you niggas. Pause.
Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like they general.
Tune Chains, that's your best answer. Cup filled with pink, I'm supporting breast cancer. I might do that walk for the 5K. I get paid every time I leave my driveway.
Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like they general.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Wrestling It Factor. Yeah. We up in this motherfucker once again. Yeah, we got a guest. He's from MCW. Also, turning up the indie scene all over the Northeast. And also with Urban Wrestling Federation, the one and only, my homie, Buck Child. Yeah, what up?
What it is, baby? What's going on?
Ain't nothing, man. Everything's cool. How about you?
Everything's good. Everything's real good. Just left the tanning salon, getting ready for Saturday. Ready for that MCW Body Slam Autism. Rage TV title match. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's what's up. And who will you be taking on?
It's the pinnacle, Sean Patrick.
Yeah, a good he's actually another good worker also.
Sean, he's got his ups and downs. You know what I'm saying? He's been around
right.
for a minute, but I ain't really seen that cat go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Indie scene, yeah, he's a good dude. I just I don't think he's got what it takes in him to be prepared and to come out victorious on Saturday.
Right. And also, it's a great cause for autism also.
Sure enough.
Right. And tell us about how you got started in the business.
To be honest with you, man, it's I've been a fan for a minute, a little kid, sitting around watching. And, I really didn't get so crazy. Like I tell a lot of the guys in the business, they're all, you remember matches back from when they were 8 years old at the Civic Center or whatever else may be. And I really didn't get hard into it until I probably hit about 17, 18 years old, maybe 16, somewhere around there.
Right.
But, I had my first child when I was at a very young age. And I remember being like 20, 21 years old, and my oldest son, he was about 3 at the time. And I just remember sitting around on Monday nights and, the Rock's music would hit. And at 3 years old, this cat would jump up and stand on the edge of the couch and throw his fist up,
Right.
And really, the main reason that got me in it was just like seeing how he acted and reacted to the Rock's music. And the Rock's entrance and how he felt for that guy, how would he feel? Just I could imagine the excitement if he saw Dad come out the curtain. So
right.
That's really what forced me to push myself to do it. And I met Tim Burke walking down the street one day, and I don't even know why the guy had stopped to talk to me or what it is, but we started a conversation, two strangers, and he mentioned to me about Brainbusters, which was, MEWF school. And, Tim was the lone owner at that time. Dennis Whitrack had done,
right.
and him done parted ways. And I started there, and just from day one, the adrenaline and the excitement, man, it's something I haven't been able to shake since.
Right. That's what's up. How about... did you ever attended Team 3D Academy?
Yeah, I was with Bubba and Devon for about 2.5 years. I moved down about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, I moved to Orlando, and I started training fairly quickly, like pretty much right away. And, there's without a doubt no better place in this country to learn this business. I mean,
right.
the guys, are the most decorative tag team of all time. And
right.
Two of the smartest individuals I've ever met.
Right.
So, I definitely was at the Team 3D Academy and definitely learned 90% of what I've the little I do have in my brain from them, a lot
right.
of these other schools around the country, there's nowhere near, you can't even hold a candle, there's no comparison.
Right. Yeah, it was actually so many wrestlers came from Team 3D Academy and went further in the business also.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Jesse Neal, Jesse Goddard's, Rob Terry, if there's the Bendejos, the talent that comes out of that building, man, is crazy. It's crazy.
Right.
And when you're working 3, 4, 5 days a week with Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley, like you can't fail. Like the
right.
the knowledge and the training that they pass on to you, you can't fail. It's if you fail, it's your fault,
Right. Even though Bully Ray Mark is more of the more aggressive, more the stricter one of the two.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, Bubba definitely is. He tells how it is. That's for sure. There's no playing around. There's no cutting cards. Bubba's straightforward. And but you know that's what you need. You know, like if somebody's gonna sit there and blow smoke up your ass or whatever and tell you to bring, you know that you got it and you don't. I mean, they're just setting up false hope, man. And you know, for Bubba to lay down the law the way he does, you know, it definitely it makes you push yourself even more because you want to show him. You know, you want to prove to him. And it's definitely he's definitely the enforcer of the law. There's no doubt. And trust me, I wouldn't want to piss Devon off either. You know, but that Bubba definitely is. He's the bear.
Right. And also, you had a short stint for Urban Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, we did the UWF deal. You know, they called and spoke to me, and they called and spoke to Devon, I believe. And, you know, the owner of that company was in office with ECW back when Bubba and Devon were there. And a lot of the camera crews, a lot of the guys that were on creative, like a lot of the staff in the office at UWF were ECW office. And, you know, I liked it. It was definitely fun. It was definitely an experience. You know, I think it had a little more potential, you know, to go a little bit farther, but, you know, it seemed like it was more about the rapping than it was the wrestling. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a wrestling show. Don't get me wrong, man. Billy Blue was awesome. You know, Big Block, everybody was no doubt cool. You know, and they all played their little piece in the puzzle to put the whole thing together and each show together. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a wrestling show. And I think they fell a little far from that. And, you know, Melly Mel, I remember sitting in the locker room with him in the Manhattan Center talking about it. And, you know, Melly Mel could see it, you know.
Right.
And this guy, I mean, he's been in the business. I mean, he's trained, you know, but you know, his career, he made his life as a rapper, you know, and he even said, man, like, yeah, it's cool and everything for me to be out here and for me to do my thing, but, you know, you guys are putting on the show. And they just, it seemed like they fell from that. And I think that's part of the reason why it faded away so fast, but it was definitely fun. It was definitely an experience. And, you know, sharing a locker room with guys like Melly Mel, was definitely cool. It was definitely cool. And, you know, and then the workers as well, man. You know, Homicide was there. The SATs, I mean, there was a lot of really good workers there, and it was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, Eddie Kingston. How was Steve the Hustler?
You know, to be honest with you, man, he was all right. He was business, that's for sure. I mean, there weren't many conversations with him, you know, every day during any kind of filming, any tapings, you know, Steve was in the rafters watching.
Right.
And, you know, like that was mainly where you seen that guy was in the rafters.
Right.
And his eye was definitely on his product, that's for sure. But, you know, I didn't have much dealings with Steve that much. His number two, his name was Steve as well. He was the voice for the company, that's for sure.
Right.
But they treated us well, you know.
Exactly.
They treated us well. Hotel accommodations were great. You know, the limousine accommodations were great. Everything was
right.
Everything was nice, man. And we just
They treated y'all like first class.
Yeah, sure enough.
Right. And I will give out Word Association. How about Dan McDivitt?
Dan's a businessman, man. You know, Dan is Dan. You know,
right.
I don't know many people like Dan McDivitt.
Yeah.
He's definitely his own person. And you know, there's been a lot of good times but then again a lot of bad blood between Dan and I. And that seems to be an ongoing thing, but with a lot of people with Dan. But
that's true.
You know, at the end of the day Dan's about business.
Right.
And Dan makes business happen. And Dan's fair about it if you're doing the right thing. So I don't have much to say about Dan other than the fact that MCW is definitely my home, and
right.
I thank him for what he does with that show, each and every show. So
right, actually going on to 16 years for a long time for MCW.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, there's been a lot of really memorable shows, and definitely a lot of talent have gotten
right.
their start there. That's for sure.
Yes, indeed. And how the workers in the at MCW, how was it like working with Hoss Hager?
I'm sorry, working with who?
Hager.
Oh, that cracked.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Hoss, I thought was a pretty decent kid, man. Like, you know, when he come around after I dipped out of MCW, you know, I had my break from the company for a couple years. About a year lead up into Team 3D, and then, of course, the 2.5 years I was down there. And when I made my return back to MCW, when I moved back to B-More, Hager was one of the first cats that I actually kind of took a liking to. And
right.
he seemed like he was listening, you know, he seemed like he wanted to learn. He seemed real respectful. And then, you know, I don't even know what happened with that cat, man, like the way he snapped, but, you know, and this is just straight up, you know, like, you know, no show about it, like, that cat's a disrespectful bastard, you know what I'm saying, for what he
right.
did to me, you know what I'm saying, for what he did
yeah.
to my family, and that cat, he'll never have any respect for me ever again, no doubt.
Right. And, what about how was it like working with guys like Nui Tafiga?
Nui's a great dude, man.
Right.
That dude, without a doubt, that's one humble kid that I definitely enjoy being around every time I'm around that guy. He asks questions. He listens. You know, and it's just funny, you know, the guys that are real respectful and the guys that really want to do something, you know, when there's somebody in the locker room like Christian York or, you know, we bring in somebody like, I don't know, Joey Mercury or Rhino or, you know, the Dudleys, you know, you just name
right.
it, the multiple names that MCW brings in, like, Dewey's one of them kids, man. Like
right.
when one of those guys starts to speak, it doesn't matter who in the room they're talking to. You see Nui's ears perk up, you know, and Nui
right.
Nui gets it in, and there's no doubt in my mind that Dewey's going to be around for a long time, man, and I think
right.
he's just going to keep better and better.
Right. He's actually a workhorse. And...
Yeah, he's definitely he's a worker, you know, and there's no doubt that he's going to go a little more ways, that's for sure.
Right. And what's your opinion about Black Wall Street?
Yeah.
The members, yeah.
I don't have much of an opinion on them guys either. Market Street and I actually had a little altercation in the locker room about two shows ago. And
right.
He wasn't on the show. He was out in the crowd. And, you know, word is that the dude was talking pretty nasty and being pretty ignorant to a young female, and you know, word was that he put his hands on her, and I don't know, I wasn't there, you know, that's all he said,
right.
she said, but you know, I tried to help dude out and advise him it was probably best for him to leave the building, and you know, he kind of got smart with me, and you know, next thing you know, we were face to face, and he was against the brick wall, and you know, I was screaming so loud I could see the spit just collecting on his face. And
right.
The cat had enough nerve to go home and post a Facebook status about me 4 hours later, you know. And I really don't have an opinion about much of them guys because they're all the same cockiness and think this business owes them something. And to be honest with you, these guys, they don't have a clue. So,
right.
Black Wall Street, nah, don't could care less whether they're in the locker room or not.
Right. How about Ryan McBride? Were you surprised about his early retirement?
Yeah, that kind of popped.
Right.
What was that? I'm sorry. Yeah, it kind of surprised me a little bit.
Right.
I wasn't expecting that out of Ryan. You know, Ryan's one of them kids that's up and down the East Coast every weekend, and he's
right.
got a pretty good following. And I was kind of shocked at that. And he's a real athletic kid, and seems like his heart's really in the business. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is with the head, to be honest with you. I didn't know it was happening until it happened.
Right.
And it was definitely a shocker. And I know there's probably going to be about 200 or 300 16-year-old white girls on the East Coast that are going to be crying for the next couple of months.
Right.
So.
Yes, how was like working with Fed Up?
You know, Fed Up, they've been around, you know, since I was young, since I was a kid, and, you know, at 20, 21 years old when I first started training, they were already at Brain Busters. And some of them I believe G-Dog had trained shortly at Bone Breakers before Brain Busters and didn't quite
right.
make the cut there. And
another school I
yeah.
haven't heard from in a long time that I had a recent trial in 99. And during that time I had other things going on. I didn't get the chance to finish up or learn more about the wrestling and the rest of the taking bumps and stuff.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know, those guys, Short Shot Derek Wayne, originally started at Bone Breakers and he migrated down to Brain Busters, like a
right.
lot of guys did. And, you know, Bone Breakers was a tougher school than Brain Busters. You know, Tim kind of
right.
was laid back about things and Dan McDevitt, you know, like I said, his business. And
right.
he ran a tight ship. And a lot of guys didn't make it. And, you know, what I never even knew of Bone Breakers, you know. And
right.
I started at Brain Busters. Derek Wayne was, you know, taught me my first bumps. And, you know,
G-Dog and T-Fed, they were all good friends with Derek, and they kind of took me under their wing, and I became buddies with those guys. And Derek became a really great friend of mine. And, you know, me and G-Fed, we, you know, as Brand X, we were MEWF Tag Team Champions, and, you know, we were together month in, month out for a good couple of months. I mean, a good couple of years doing the Brand X thing, and that was definitely one of the most fun times that I've had in the business. Back then, everything, like, it was a lot of carefree and just have fun. And right. G-Fed and I, we had a lot of fun, and we worked a lot of great tag teams, the Slackers, you know, the Rollers,
right.
The Punishment, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, so when I came back and I knew that they had these runs with Black Wall Street and everything else, and, you know, they asked me to have their back, like, it was fun. I knew it would be fun, and it was fun, and I'm glad we did it that way. I'm glad when I made my return, it was with those guys, because it meant something. Not only did it mean something to me to be back in front of my home crowd, but after 4 years, but to be back with my homeboys. And I wish Derek would have been around to see it. We lost Derek a couple years back, and it was a hard thing for a lot of us. And, you know, it couldn't have been any better to come back that way.
Yeah. And also, do you have anything else to plug?
Nah, man, not really. I'll be honest with you, you know, last August I was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and I took a good 4 or 5 months off the business and stayed away. And, you know, now that I'm back, I'm back in Baltimore. I've only been back for about 2 years now, you know, and it's good to be around my homeboys and my family. And, you know, the cancer thing kind of woke me up a little bit. And right now it's just there's nothing else I've got going on other than MCW. I'm kind of on cruise control. I enjoy just working MCW, you know, once a month or whatever it may be, and in front of the home crowd, and I'm not really pushing as hard as I used to, and I'm just trying to enjoy myself right now with my family and my homeboys, but plus stay in touch with my wrestling family as well. And there's nothing else I got more to plug than Body Slam Altism. This is definitely one of my favorite shows to do every year. The crowd's always live, and it's for a good reason and a good cause. And,
right.
You know, it's always a pleasure to get in front of those kids and do
right.
what we love to do best. So, you know, Saturday, you know, this Saturday, 7:30 at the Green Room in Dundalk, you know, I just wish everybody would make their way out and be there and,
right.
you know, support the MCW crowd and help us, you know, Body Slam Altism.
Right. And also y'all will be having also TNA Knockout Diva Taryn Terrell also.
Sure enough.
Appearance.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, my girl, Amber Rodriguez, she's got a little issue going on with her, thanks to Jesse K.
Jesse K, yeah.
Yeah, so you know that little bit, she's to put her nose and everything. And
right.
You know, I think it's gonna be a fun night for me and Amber.
Right.
So I think those chicks and Sean Patrick, yeah. I think they all need to watch their back for sure.
Right. Most definitely. Yeah. So it's an honor having you on Wrestling This Factor. You can come back anytime, man.
Thanks, man. It's been great. I appreciate it.
All right,
man. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Saturday, 7:30. Green Room in Dundalk, Body Slam Altism, Buck Child versus Sean Patrick. It's going to be the shiznit. I want to see you all there.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
No doubt. And ladies and gentlemen, that will wrap it up for Wrestling It Factor. Tune in to our Wrestling It Factor group page on Facebook for archives or archives on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm out.
So I let the bitch hang out with me, right? You know word got around, I was fucking this nigga, bitch. So the nigga call me, he like, you fucking my bitch? I'm like, I'm fucking her right now. Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like they general.
Take your shoes off, but don't even ask. Got your bitch tiptoeing on Italian mob. They on that bad batch. Too much walk around. Shorty ass fat. You gotta walk around. Big body got 10 of those. Cause cribs, that's egg hoes. Nine piece, that's dinner rolls. Wild freaks, that's centerfold, huh? 100 on my shine. You don't like it, fine. Got your bitch tiptoeing like Gregory Hines.
Bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like they general.
Went work, got the kitchen stinking. We call her undercover, a pig in a blanket. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Shoot you in your head like Abraham Lincoln. Hunting on them bitches like Birdman. Rolling weed and white sheep, Ku Klux Klan. Put it on the scale, watch it do numb. Playing with them keys like Stevie Wonder. All my hoes pretty, all my niggas crazy. We sell that white, sell that brown, call that rice and gravy. Call me Tunchi Lee, I don't call me at all. Man, fuck all you niggas. Pause.
Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those. Whipping, working, smelling like a general.
Two chains, that's your best answer. Cup filled with pink, I'm supporting breast cancer. I might do that walk for the 5K. I get paid every time I leave my driveway.
Got your bitch tiptoeing on my marble floors. Red bottoms only for the centerfold. Big body, I got 10 of those.